So most of these things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder are usually hereditary. Most of the time, they're hereditary. But people don't know that. They think most of the time it's just because the person has a demonic possession. So most movies nowadays have been made to know that people who have schizophrenia are probably demon-possessed, which is not supposed to be so. So you should not get the wrong impression from these movies that are being produced.
When you look at it, honestly speaking, that individual look like he's sick. He look like he's not well. So how do I bring my problem for you to solve? So I don't, you know, this is not something that is kind of random. And this is kind of a mainstream behavior in Nigeria with millions of people looking at it as the reality of life. Fire! I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that has seen it like that. Is there something wrong with us as Africans, Nigeria? I'm just like putting it like that. Is there something wrong with us?
Ignorance has really eaten deep into the minds of Nigerians. We believe that if we, if something bad happens to us, it's village people. You fail an exam, it's village people. You lose a job, it's village people. Sometimes we tend to over spiritualize things, especially in this country. So it's not as if per se that Nigerians are not aware of the fact that mental health is a challenge. The only issue is that we are very ignorant of the fact that mental health challenges have not been properly understood. We think that when somebody has schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, is the work of the devil. My name is Charles. People know me as Dr. Charles Itua. For my colleagues, my acquaintances, they normally refer to me as Dr. Charles. I started off in psychiatry and psychology by attending the Academy of Modern Applied Psychology. But before that, I was a banker. I worked in a bank, and I've also been I'm currently an entrepreneur, but entrepreneurship has not always been my go-to career path option. Gradually, I started going into psychology, graduated as a counseling practitioner and CBT practitioner. I also have certifications in relationship psychology. Then I got trained. I did a specialized training from a company called Seven Cups, where I went deep into challenges like relationship stress, family stress, breakups, and parenting. So this paved the way for what I'm currently doing now as a love, sex, relationship, and family counselor.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, there are a lot of things actually that we can talk about there, but let's try to focus on mental health just now, because I think a lot of people would like to learn about that also. And of course, we could come back here again on another episode to talk about some other area, because of course, each of the arguments that we pick, we could really go a little bit more in detail in that. And that, of course, require a bit of time. All right, now let's talk a little bit about you. So where were you born and where did you grow up? Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm 35 now, going to 36, 1988, 20th April. I was born in a small town called First Park Town. Born into a family of three boys, including myself and a girl. My two older ones are, my sister is a doctor and my brother is a nurse. And my younger brother is an engineer. We've always had our own paths, but I chose to go a different route by first of all going into the finance field, tested that a bit, didn't like it so much. So I had to quit and I found myself in psychology, which I'm currently loving. I've also delved into arts and I've used that as an avenue to express my creativity and use that to help me exploring myself, discovering who I am. So relating it to psychology, it has helped me to open up doors to what I'm currently doing now. So I appreciate art. I was able to make art a business due to the intricacy surrounding using art as a means to sustain one's livelihood. So I just did it as a side hustle. So what I'm currently doing now as a psychologist, as a counselor, is my current field of interest.
So, are you originally from Lagos or from somewhere else?
I'm from Edo State, Ishan Central. Ishan Central is my local government. Then my Ewu is my village. So I was born in Lagos, but my parents are Edo. So I have Edo parents, and yeah, it's a whole lot. My culture is quite there's this complexity when it comes to the Itua family. We are so brilliant, we are so amazing, we do amazing things, but we do have our own challenges. So being an Itua has always been a privilege because of the joy and the journey that we've been through. So growing up in Lagos as an Edo boy has its challenges because we are seen as how would I say that, a blend between Yoruba and Edo. So we do have our own challenges growing up in Lagos, but we found friends, we found support systems that we can that we use as a means to survive in a noisy world. So yeah, I really do appreciate the Itua family and the journey that we've been through. It's been an amazing ride so far.
Thank you so much for that. So when you say challenges, what do you mean by that?
Okay, like my dad is a doctor, and he was born in Edo State. He told me his story. He really went through a whole lot. So coming to Lagos as a medical doctor, starting his practice, he went through a whole lot just to survive and to bring us up. His plan was that the Itua family would be one of the best. His family, like his immediate family, would be one of the most talked about and successful family. And we did do our best, and I really do appreciate his fatherly love, because we've all grown up now. We've all chosen different career paths. So growing up in the Itua family, being around friends who we had direct contact with, it has been an amazing journey. So the challenges came mostly from growing up and societal expectations and the need to just survive in Nigeria. Yeah, my siblings have all gone abroad. I'm the only one in Nigeria, so I'm closer to home right now.
And that's good. You're closer to home, meaning your feet are on
I'm guessing
the ground now. I love that. Okay, now, so let's spend some time on mental health. That is where you are right now as an expert. Now, I'm imagining some people who are sort of wondering, what does it mean, mental health? Some people don't have a good grasp of that. Could you give us a background, what people should learn about, or what people should know about mental health, at least the one that you are covering?
Before starting out as a what I'm currently doing now, I had to first of all go to the basics. So I had to start as a counseling practitioner, where I studied anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder. So mental health, in a nutshell, is a holistic state of well-being. It's how you process things. It's how you relate with things, both positively and negatively. So there's what they call good mental health and bad mental health. When you have good mental health, you take care of yourself, you are eating well, you have a balanced diet, you are exercising, your mind is fresh. So even when you do have problems and challenges, you don't allow the problems and challenges to get the best of you. So that's good mental health. Then bad mental health is when you don't exercise, when you don't do good diet routines, when you don't practice mindfulness and meditation. So that's what they call bad mental health. So you're in a state of two spectrums, the negative side and the positive side. So it's better to stick to the positive mental health. You can't blame anybody for having a bad mental health, because we're all trying to survive in this world. We're all trying to make do with our resources. So it's not always easy for us to be in a state of wellness all the time. So we do need psychiatrists, we do need counselors, we do need therapists who can guide us along the way. So in order for us to live well and holistically, I believe it's very important that we practice good self-care exercising and routines that give us good mental health. So that's just in a nutshell. There's a whole lot, but because of time and because of this interview, I just want to shorten it down to the basics.
All right, thank you so much for that. All right, so right now you are in Lagos, right? Okay, so when you look around you, how much do people talk about the the question of mental health?
Okay. It's not talked about enough. Actually, practicing as a psychologist or psychiatrist in Nigeria is not advisable. If you do your BS in psychology in Nigeria, it's better to do your master's abroad. It's very, very important. Psychology is not really talked about. It's not a matured field in Nigeria, especially in places like Lagos, where you can see someone walking on the road wearing tattered clothes, looking naked and not even well dressed. So you'll be wondering, who is this man? Why is he not dressed well? Is there something wrong with him? So, but a psychologist will look at him and say he has not taken care of himself properly. He probably smoked colos or smoked marijuana, or he has schizophrenia that wasn't taken care of. So being in Lagos, practicing as a counselor or a psychiatrist in Lagos is very, very challenging, sometimes not rewarding. But the reason why it's not talked about enough is because mental health has not been truly accepted. Although during the COVID era taught us that mental health is very important. So the COVID era opened up doors of opportunities. You know, people were working remotely, people lost their jobs. So a lot of people turned to therapy, was like BetterHelp, to seek therapies. But still, the narrative has not been truly solidly on ground in Lagos, especially, sorry, not Lagos alone, but Nigeria as a whole. You see parents locking up their children inside their houses, not wanting their neighbors to know their child has autism or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, so they hide them from the public. So these are ignorant parents who don't understand mental health. They think he's a witch or a wizard that possessed a boy or their child, rather, or possessed their child. So the child behaves like a devil. So that's the reason why. And religion has played a major role in this, because most pastors believe that if you are not behaving well or you are behaving erratically, you are probably possessed, which is not supposed to be so. It's not supposed to be so at all. Unlike the foreign world, where they are more open, more acceptable, more accepting of mental health challenges. So talking to somebody that's not existing in your world, that's schizophrenia. You are talking to the air, that's soliloquizing. Although soliloquizing and schizophrenia are different things, but schizophrenia is more pronounced. You are talking to people who are not existing. So in this case, we say the person might have schizophrenia, or someone who is religious based might say the person is possessed. So the challenge is that the mental health advocacy has not really been properly foundationally built in Nigeria. So that's why we have these challenges.
There is a lot we can actually talk about there. All right. I want you to help me clarify what you mean by somebody talking to somebody that is not there and be seen as a schizophrenia. Give us more example on that.
For example, there are what they call bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder exists in a spectrum of the depressive mood and the hyperactive mood. So first of all, you are going from a state of depression, a state of elevated mood, to a state of depression. So we have bipolar 1, bipolar 2. That's our two kind of bipolar disorder. So in bipolar disorder, there is a existence of what they call schizophrenia. So schizophrenia is a mental health challenge on its own. But because of the interrelation of different mental health challenges, we have schizophrenia also existing in bipolar disorder. So schizophrenia is like you are talking to the air. You are talking to your surroundings, but nobody is there. Like you are seeing a vision, but not like if you are seeing a vision exactly, but you are talking to an entity that is not existing. And that non-existence of that entity is like you are in a different world entirely, like your own dimension. So you hear people talking in your head, you hear voices in your head, you hear people talking to you, go and kill this person, go and take out your life. You are nothing, you are not worth it, you are this, you are this, you are that. So those little voices distract the mind of a schizophrenic patient who is experiencing this mental health challenge. And this can be very deteriorating if not properly managed on time. So schizophrenia can be treated, but it cannot be treated to the extent that it totally disappears, because it's a long-term illness. So, but with the managing of the symptoms become more manageable. So the baby, probably the voices will go lower, the visions will become less pronounced, and you can live a normal life, but except you take your medications. So medication is very important in when a patient who is experiencing schizophrenia. So taking medication on time is really, really important as it helps you manage the symptoms of schizophrenia.
All right, thank you for that clarification. That is very important for people that are listening to us. All right, now in your explanation, just of course, even in your latest response, we could see that it is important that people that are having these kind of challenges are taken care of, are looked into, their cases are looked into. But you also said that in Nigeria, I can just comfortably say in many parts of Africa, we don't really take this seriously, whether it should be taken seriously. Because you are an expert in this area, could you help us understand why are we not taking it seriously? Because I would like to sort of dabble a little bit into if there are some spiritual angle, not really spiritual angle, maybe religious angle leading to ignorance or cultural angle. Why are we not taking it seriously? The question that we are talking about here.
Okay. You know, in Africa, Africans tend to be more... let me use the word, that is both idealistic more than rationality. They tend to be more idealistic, and it's the state of idealisticity that leads them to make some certain, as Africans, it leads us to make a certain choices. So when it comes to mental health, we tend to now gravitate towards the spiritual angle, neglecting the fact that we can actually start thinking of this more rationally. If you think of mental health more rationally, we understand that cases like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, it's not as if it's a curse that has been placed on you by a devil for the wrong things that you've done. It's just a state of chemical imbalance in the mind. But if the narrative is always around the fact that you've done something evil, or you've stolen something, or you offended your friend, and your friend cursed you, so you've been possessed by a devil or a witch because of that cause. So you have schizophrenia. That's a wrong mentality. Mental health is never like that. So let's not take things from a spiritual angle as Africans. Let us take things more from a rational angle as health professionals. And that's why it's very important as health professionals like myself need to keep on advocating that to Nigerians that a patient that has schizophrenia or bipolar disorder does not mean as being possessed by a devil or a witch. It just means that the person is experiencing a chemical imbalance working on the mind, not a spiritual cause. So that's the reason why mental health is taken seriously. Because if you go to your pastor will tell you, fast, pray, read your Bible, speak in tongues, schizophrenia will disappear. That has its place. But speaking from a more rational angle, and not a unrealistic angle, it's very important to practice self-care exercises, visit a psychiatrist, a therapist, or a counselor that can lead you to the right materials that will help you to get better. Not fasting, not praying, not kabashing, not speaking in tongues. Though God can do his thing, but still, you have to play your own part by taking your medication, by visiting a psychiatrist, by getting the help that you need. You can pray, it has its place, but in a more realistic angle. Please seek a medication, please talk to a therapist, talk to a trusted friend that can lead you to the right resources, and your healing will get better. So that's what more Nigerians need to know, and that's the narrative right now, and that's the challenge right now, practicing as a counselor in Nigeria.
So you're talking about rationality. Oftentimes in Nigeria or in Africa, I want to say again abundantly, we are not really very rational about some issues, because if we are, we will get different results. Because the description that you are giving me now corresponds to what a lot of, to the life of many Nigerians, no? You hear people... Fire! And the person who is saying that is telling me that they want to find a solution to somebody. And
yeah.
when you look at it, honestly speaking, that individual look like he's sick. He look like he's nowhere.
Yeah.
So how do I bring my problem for you to solve? So I don't, you know, this is not something that is kind of random. And this is kind of a mainstream behavior in Nigeria with millions of people looking at it as the reality of life. Fire! I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that has seen it like that. Is there something wrong with us? As Africans, Nigeria. I'm just like putting it like that. Is there something wrong with us?
No, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. I always say that if you want to hide something from a Nigerian, put it in a book. Nigerians don't like reading. I think we like more of we like things when it's easy for us. So we like flexing, we like, you know, making jokes, which is okay, but never be ignorant. So much as possible, always try to read. Things like issues like mental health can't be solved only by kabashing, speaking in tongues. It's okay to do these things, but those things have its place. When it comes to things like mental health, you do need to be more rational and realistic. To be very honest with you, you can't pray for a schizophrenic person to start getting better when that schizophrenic person doesn't want to take his medication. A schizophrenic patient needs to take his medication to get better. No amount of prayer can lead the person to the right therapist. But God now says, okay, your prayer has led you to this therapist. The next stage is for the therapist to do his own job. So you need to take your medication. You need to sleep on time. You need to clean yourself up, barb your hair, bath, exercise, brush your teeth. Wear clean clothes, look presentable in public, shave off your beard, look good, take your medication, practice self-care. But if you are kabashing, if you are speaking in tongues, if you are always praying and reading your Bible and fasting without taking your medication, you won't get better. That's just the truth. Those things don't work if you are not taking your medication. So you do need your medication all the time, even when you are kabashing and praying and reading your Bible. You need to also be rational by taking your medication on time. God can do things. I'm a lover of God, but I'm also a lover of knowledge and rationality. So I believe very well that you cannot exempt the power of medication and self-care when taking care of a schizophrenic patient or even any other person like a bipolar disorder.
I appreciate the work that you are doing. I look at it as a sensitization, bringing light into the darkness that we find ourselves in Nigeria. We are in the dark. It's not only in literary sense. I'm not talking of a figurative expression. We are literally in the dark in Nigeria. Of course, that can also be explained that we don't have light in Nigeria, but also mean that we, inside our mind, there is a lot of darkness that is happening there. We should look for a way to clean ourselves. If we have light inside, then the light will reflect outside too. So in 2010, I wrote a book that I titled Underdevelopment in Africa, My Hands Are Clean. So in that book, the thesis of it was really like saying that we as Africans need to look for what is our responsibility in what is happening to us. We cannot simply blame it on other people and say, oh, we have suffered slavery, which is true. We have suffered new colonialism. That's true. Then we have suffered from people that are interested in taking our resources, exploration, international agency, international mafia, let me call it like that, who are interested in African resources. That also is true. But that does not explain why we need to just submit ourselves as lamb to be slaughtered. So I was saying in that book that imagine somebody, a car have an accident. Now you come around to tell me that a witch is responsible for that. It is even possible that a woman have come around to confess that, oh, I am the witch that I made that happen. But the question is, have we really examined that individual to see whether what that woman is saying really makes sense? Then I say, okay, let's even leave that apart. Let's be rational. If you say that what is responsible is a witch or is a wizard, then it means we cannot do anything about it because I am not a witch, you are not a witch, so we don't have any solution. But I said, okay, let's flip the argument around. Let's say it is not a witch. Let them understand what is happening, because in accident, there are usually a couple of things that are involved. That is the driver, that is the road, that is the vehicle. Now, if we examine that the driver is not drunk, what about the vehicle? Is anything wrong with the vehicle? Maybe we can find out that maybe something is wrong with the vehicle, or maybe it's the road. Maybe something is wrong with the road. If we examine these three elements, we must find a solution to the problem, because we can examine the human being that is driving the car, whether the person is drunk or not. If that is the case, we can find a solution by making sure that he doesn't drink again when he's driving. If it is the road, then we can fix the road. If it is the vehicle, we can fix the vehicle. But we cannot fix the witch. We don't see the... I am not a witch. But I have a car. I can touch my car. I can find a solution to that like that. You see, why I am making this reflection is that just now, you were saying that somebody that is having this mental issue is essentially having a malfunctioning of the brain, a kind of a chemical imbalance. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. In that we have something to examine. If that is the case, we can prescribe something, which is also another chemical that the person needs to take, because imbalance means now that we can balance it at a point. Therefore, because there is a medicine you can take. If you say the person is possessed by the demon, I cannot control the demon. I am not a demon. You are not a demon. What do? We just tell God, save us. But what percentage is my responsibility in this? How much percentage is the demons influencing this situation? So I think that we take away the responsibility from our part when we blame it on something else that we cannot control, especially when at the end of the day, we believe that we are not that force. We are not those individuals. We just say, it is there, the devil, the old woman in the village. Are we? That is why I was asking the question before. I'm like, still going there again. Is something wrong with us?
Yes. It's a myriad of different things. First of all, I like how you be very vocal about you've been very vocal about your approach to tackling to understanding mental health. Ignorance has really eaten deep into the minds of Nigerians. We believe that if something bad happens to us, it's village people. You fail an exam, it's village people. You lose a job, it's village people. Someone argues with you and the person curses you, say you are like a fool, you are a stupid person, you are cursed, God punish you. Then you start to say, okay, I've accepted it. Maybe the next day you start behaving irrationally. You say, oh, it's the curse that you put on me. You're the one that caused this thing. You use religion to make me useless, Abi. Come on. Sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize things, especially in this country. So it's not as if per se that Nigerians are not aware of the fact that mental health is a challenge. The only issue is that we are very ignorant of the fact that mental health challenges have not been properly understood. We think that when somebody has schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, is the work of the devil. The devil is not at work. It's a chemical imbalance. It all starts from the chemical imbalance in the brain. Once the brain has a chemical imbalance, once there is a disruption in the mind, it affects the whole part of the body holistically. So that's why before we started this conversation, I said that we have good mental health and bad mental health. Even if you are schizophrenic, even if you have bipolar disorder, even if you have depression, once you start taking care of yourself, exercising, self-care, going for a walk, gymming, taking your medication, those things help. But if you are only praying, if you are only reading your Bible, if you are only going to your pastor without taking care of your mental health, and you say you want to get well, you may not get well because those things don't work out like that. as a professional in my field, I have looked at this thing since I started in 2020. For 3 years, I have dedicated my life to this craft, though I have deviated into different things along the way due to the expectations of society and tried to make an income for myself. But I've always come back to this field out of love and passion for what I do. So for 3 years, I've studied this in Nigeria. I've not left this country to study psychology. I've always been here. There is a problem, and the problem is our ignorance. Nigerians are ignorant of the fact that mental health they're ignorant of the fact that mental health is not religious. But they are ignorant of the fact that mental health is not religious. So they feel mental health, feel anybody that has a mental health challenge is probably from a religious angle. So everything they do is taken from a religious angle. You have bipolar disorder, it's a possession by a witch. You are speaking to walls outside without anybody being there. They say you are possessed by a witch. Doesn't make sense. Let's be more realistic.
Thank you so much for that. Before I ask you anything related to what might be the causes, because that also is important. I've had to talk to some people sometime. I think we should examine ourselves to start with. We should examine the kind of life that we are living. If we take it from the point of view of spirituality, in this case, we can talk of religion. Almost in all the cases are instruments that are used to keep the people in their prison. But even if we were to look at it from that angle, you see, God created, I don't want to talk about religion because I can be very offensive in those areas. Let's leave that apart. So in the course of, during the period of COVID-19, I interviewed a lot of psychologists here. Then at a point I will tell you that, hey, you guys are going to have a lot of work to do at the end of COVID-19, because that time we were still in COVID-19 period, because a lot of people were locked down. Now, why did I continuously repeat that to the psychologist I was interviewing? I'm not interviewing psychologists, but I interview a lot, okay? Because I interview a lot of people. And this is it. For a very long time, we have not been locked in the house. Okay, I don't know the extent it was in Nigeria, but I'm sort of talking in a global scale, because I talked about people living in Italy, for example, or living in UK or in US, where people were really locked down, just you couldn't go anywhere. Because the human being, we are sort of used to going out, no? Now, for some time, you were just locked inside the house. There are going to be consequences to that. You cannot pretend about that. And we can also see, we actually see the evidence. Suicide rate had risen so high. Abuse in the houses have risen so high. And again, we don't need to look at this as if it were a spiritual problem. It's not a spiritual problem. There are the imbalances, like you are saying. So these things, we need to look at it. They are real. They are really here. So where I want to drag the argument to just now is the causes. What are responsible for this situation that we are finding ourselves related to mental health?
Okay. I'll first of all start from the fact that we have different kinds of mental health challenges, especially if you look at the DSM-5. That's the mental health challenges booklet, where it has a list of all mental health challenges. So we have things like depression, we have schizophrenia, we have bipolar disorder, we have anxiety disorder, we have social anxiety, we have all these mental health challenges that exist in the DSM-5. Because of the nature of mental health, okay, most of them they coexist together. So someone with depression can have bipolar disorder. Someone with schizophrenia can also have bipolar disorder. Someone with social anxiety, being an introvert, can also be a challenge, because that person can also have, depression can also coexist with social anxiety, so to speak. So most of these things usually are due to our habits and our lack of care for the things that we do. Though things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder are usually hereditary. So it's usually the fact of whether your generations back, maybe your uncle in a previous generation in your family had schizophrenia or had bipolar disorder. So the bloodline is familiar, call it familiar. The bloodline has eventually led to you started having bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, so to speak. So most of these things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder are usually hereditary. Most of the time, they're hereditary. But people don't know that. They think most of the time it's just because the person has a demonic possession. So most movies nowadays have been made to know that people who have schizophrenia are probably demon possessed, which is not supposed to be so. So you should not get the wrong impression from these movies that are being produced. So things like social anxiety and complex PTSD, those are also exist in their own spectrum. So complex PTSD normally comes from a traumatic experience. Things like social anxiety from our own lack of self-care. If you don't go out so much, or you have a problem relating with people, or you don't have a good relationship, you don't know how to talk to people, people can call you socially anxious. You lack social etiquette. It's not your fault per se, but you can actually it can actually be managed and controlled. Social anxiety may not necessarily involve medication. You may just need to talk to a therapist. Therapists will use CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, which is what I use for my clients. I normally use CBT for my clients most of the time. I love using talk therapy. That's why I studied it and I love using it for my clients. So CBT is good for things like social anxiety. When it comes to things like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, those are a little bit more grandiose. So you need medications for that. Talk therapy can work, but you do need medication for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, which is why I've not really gone so deep into practicing as a bipolar disorder schizophrenic counselor, because I know it involves medication. So I actually have to now specialize more in relationship, love, and therapy in sex, because that is more related to how you relate to people. So you can just use CBT for that. So the causes of mental health are a little bit different, but they coexist in a bubble where you have things like depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, still existing in the same spectrum. But eventually, the issues can be better managed. May not be cured, but they can be better managed. So this is just like a short explanation of it's a whole lot. I just have to break it down into simpler bits. It's a whole lot.
Now, the people that are suffering from this disorder, now there are many now. You talk of bipolar, you talk of schizophrenia, you talk of depression. How do they feel? I mean, what do they complain to you? Or is it maybe somebody recommend you to treat them, or they come to you on their own? Why do they come? What do they complain to you? What do they tell you that they are worried about?
Usually issues like mental health are normally because you are trying to make sense of your world. Nobody wants to be born bipolar. Nobody wants to experience schizophrenia. Nobody wants to live life taking medication for the rest of their lives. Nobody wants to do these things. So it's the quality of life that really matters. So the reason why people will seek therapy, even people who visit their pastors, people who visit their imams, for the Muslims, people who visit therapists, they all want one thing. They want to improve the quality of their lives. So the first thing that we as counselors always tell our clients is, how are you feeling and how can I help you? Anybody that has depression, anxiety, they are all unique for a particular individual, but they all exist in the spectrum of saying, I want to improve the quality of my life. You cannot improve the quality of your life if you don't seek therapy, if you don't seek counseling, if you live ignorantly. So the most important thing is that they want to improve the quality of their lives. Nobody truly wants to live life with a sickness. Even if you have malaria, you go to a doctor, you have you feel diabetic, you have to take medication. I say if you are diabetic, rather, not that you feel diabetic, you have diabetic diagnosis, you want to visit a medical doctor to treat you. So all these things, you want to improve the quality of your life. That's the whole basis of everything. So improving the quality of life means that you want counseling, you want therapy, and you're ready to spend money to access these materials. That's why therapy can be very expensive in Nigeria. And even in all parts of the world, therapy can be very expensive. So we try as much as possible to have a sliding scale to make them therapy more affordable and negotiable for them. So anything that they have, they can bring, but it has to be more reasonable so the quality of life for that person can be improved. So the most important thing that everybody seeks out for when coming for therapy is to improve the quality of their lives.
That's so true. That's so true. Everybody needs improvement, no? Life is supposed to be lived more qualitatively, but sometimes we have some of these challenges, yeah? You're so right.
Yeah.
Now, what would be your recommendation for people that are maybe having some of these symptoms that you have described? What would you tell them to do?
Okay. Because of the nature of mental health, okay, most of them coexist together. So someone that has depression can take medication, can go for talk therapy, can use CBT or ACT, but CBT is more recognized and more it's more common. So someone that asks is a friend that needs to take medication. Social anxiety, you do need to go for therapy as well. Someone that has bipolar disorder medication. But all these things, regardless of whether you take medication or not, you still need to add a lot of different things, components to it. That's why they call self-care. Self-care is very important. So people can journal. You can have a journal, be writing your thoughts in a journal. So people can take walks. So people can go for exercises, gyming. So all these self-care exercises are additions to your medication. Don't just take medication alone and think you get well. You can get well, but you have to train your mind as well as your body. Your mind needs exercise as much as your body. So as I take your medication for schizophrenia and bipolar disorder or depression or social anxiety, as if you need medication for those things, especially for social anxiety social anxiety may not need medication, but things like depression, anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia, another ones that are more clinical based, you need medication for those ones. But still, you need to inculcate self-care practices into it. So buy a journal, write in a journal, meditation, mindfulness, taking walks, exercising, just move the body, drink water, eat good food. Those things they're an addition to your medication taking. It seems easy for me to talk about it, but it's for someone that is really experiencing these challenges, can be very complex for them. But if they are willing to take care of their minds, if they're willing to take their medication, if they're willing to go for walks and exercise, if they're willing to improve the quality of their lives through these exercises, and eventually they get better.
Thank you for that. I appreciate you. I really do. Yeah. All right. So now for people that have listened to you and they want to connect with you, they want to work with you, how can they reach you? Share with them how to get to know you better.
Okay. I'm available on Therapy Tribe. Therapy Tribe is where I do most of my bookings. I just have it's a therapy directory. So I have most of my bookings on those on the website. I can also be reached on LinkedIn, Dr. Charles Itua. You can find me on LinkedIn. There you see my Therapy Tribe link, and you can be able to connect with me and we'll have a conversation. My sessions is 50,000 naira. It's a one-time fee. Just 50,000 naira, one-time fee. After 50,000 naira, you have access to all my services, no additional payments. So a payment of 50,000 naira, and you are good to go. That's a summary.
All right. Thank you so much for that. It is very clear. It's very clear from the beginning. So what would be your final thought here, considering what we have discussed today? What would you say to conclude it?
Okay. Take care of your mental health and love people. Be kind to people. God has a reason why he brought into this world. He didn't bring into this world to suffer. God brought into this world for you to live life well. But if you know that you need therapy, if you know that you need someone to speak to, and reach out to a counselor. I'm not the only counselor, but I'm a counselor that listens to you. So if by chance you find my page and you want to speak with me, first of all, know that I'm here to help. Beyond the monetary value I gain, and beyond the money I received in my bank account, I still want to get better. So God wants you to live better and wants you to live life well. So if you stumble upon my page, know that God led you to me.
Thank you so much for that, Mr. Itua. I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the sharing here and the value.
Yeah.
Of course, for all the people that are listening there, yeah, your health is your wealth. It is very important that you take care of it. Don't give it a chance. I don't believe in those lies that they are preaching out there, that the devil is after you. No devil is after you. Your grandmother is going to kill you. Your grandfather is going to kill you. You see, we are living in the 21st century. You know, we should be able to examine what is around us. We should be able to be the master of our environment. In that, there have never been a time, you know, in many culture, they tell you of the monster, no, of the strange thing. But Enan Gyati was saying that throughout human history, nobody have seen a monster before. You know, these are images that we have created and in our head. So let's take the time to be able to be the master of where we live, of our environment. Let's be the master of the sea, the master of the land, the master of the air. If we need something, let's be the one to create it. Let's not give the job to somebody else that God is going to do it. No, God is not going to do it. God has done what he has to do. If there is darkness in Nigeria, it's because we are comfortable with that. If we want light, we will do it. If we just organize 200 million people to pray, it will never happen. Because that is not how Italy got light. That is not how Germany got light. That is not how South Africa, they also have the same issue with light problem. Of course, I'm just using light because I know that is really affecting us very well. So that we need to take responsibility for what is happening to us. If we want to be sure that we also send a Nigerian astronaut to the moon, it's not going to happen by prayer. It's going to happen through technology, through planning, through strategy. If something is wrong with you, ask for help. Don't believe that some demons are after you. It is not true. Demons are not after you. You don't even understand what is meant by demons.
Yes.
So some pastors out there just want to, they are enjoying the benefit of the ignorance of the Nigerian people.
Yes.
They are leveraging the ignorance of the Nigerian people. Many of them, even here in the diaspora too, they are doing the same. They leverage the gullible people of Nigeria. It's enough. Yes. Take care of your health. Don't let people tell you that your grandmother is the one that is beating you in the night. Yes. It is not true. Anyway, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate the time. Please keep on doing what you are doing. I appreciate you.